Well, we are so blessed as a congregation in so many ways with gifted people. And one of the groups of gifted people that we are blessed by is a group of really gifted communicators who we get to hear from time to time, including the people who have been leading the children's sermons this summer. I've just been so impressed by the giftedness and the sharpness of that group. Jessica, thank you for that this morning. This morning, our speaker is going to be Garth Anderson. And Garth, I'm going to ask you if you would come up here and join me. Garth has worked and served in our community and congregation forever, I think, just about forever. Garth has served as a leader with the youth ministry and a teacher of Sunday school classes. He now serves as one of the members of our board of elders. Garth has been a businessman in our community and worked here in the Alma area for a very, very long time. Garth is a gifted communicator, and he is a student of the scripture, and he is a deep thinker. And this morning, I believe that as we lean forward, we're going to hear the word of the Lord as Garth speaks to us. Now, we have a very simple prayer that we do from time to time. We haven't done this in a long time. But I'm going to say, may the Lord be with you. This is my prayer for you during this part of our service. And as you look back, would you look at Garth, and would you say, and also be with you. This is our prayer for one another for the speaking and the hearing of the word of the Lord. So as you're looking at Garth, may the Lord be with you.
Thank you. Hey, I'm on, Kim. I did it. Get a little worried about me with technology sometimes. You know, I've been gone so much this summer that it's like I needed Steve to kind of reintroduce me, it felt like. We've been gone so many weeks, I thought I was going to come back and Gary Kreider was going to be driving or something. But the last time I was here, we were over in the church, and then 3 weeks ago, we got to go camping with our Middle Ground Sunday School class, and that was a blast. I will say that during that weekend, my grandfatherly instincts kicked in. You know, my longing to be a grandfather, no pressure, Brittany and Joel. I'm sorry that I had to mention that. But they saw it happening, and then after I say that, I just say, I'm Garth Anderson, and I approve this message. Anyway, the next week, I took my lovely, awesome wife up to Charlevoix for a four-day weekend to celebrate our 30th anniversary. Yeah. Two observations, right? They can't be that old, and boy, I feel even more sorry for her. 30 years? I understand. We rode about 113 miles on their bike trail up there. I'm telling you, if you like bike trails, that one is gorgeous. And then last week, we were visiting my son in Indianapolis. He's doing really well down there. Last Sunday night, I was at a Paul McCartney concert. Go ahead and be jealous. I understand. That was fun. On the Sunday, we were at Brian's church. He goes to a little church in Greenwood down to the southwest part of Indianapolis, and they have a Pastor Steve. So we were listening to him preach last week. You didn't get so lucky this week. You're going to be listening to me. But anyway, that's where we've been. And then throughout all that time, I've been thinking about this story. What will I say about the story of, because we've been talking about kind of heroes of the Bible and great stories and everything like that. And Jessica, I'd like to leave it at where you told it, because that's the way we know it. Good job on the details on that and everything. But really? Really? This is kind of a story of failure by the great Peter. And believe me, let nothing I say today take away from the fact that Peter was an absolute hero and giant of the faith. But I'm telling you, it's made me wonder, what was Peter's point in getting out of the boat? Because the way I understand it, if he'd have let Jesus just keep on walking, the winds would have gone away. That's the way I see it. They got in the boat and the wind went away. Hey, let me come out there with you. What are you doing there, Peter? Are you like, oh, Peter, he's got our backs. He's got us safe. He's going to get out of the boat. That's 180 pounds that you didn't need. Now you're going to be okay? I don't understand it. It's like, hey, look what I could do. I don't. I really, honestly, I wish I didn't read so much into some of these stories, but I'm going, I don't get why he got. I think Peter was probably just saying, well, he can do it. I'm going to try to do it. So that just led me to thinking more about Peter. And I will say that if there's one character in the Bible that I feel like I can identify with, it's Peter. Okay, Peter's one of those characters in the Bible. You'll see why in the next few minutes when I talk about him, but I feel like I can identify with Peter. If Peter had to give a resume, let's say, to become a disciple when Jesus was going around choosing his disciples, Peter's resume wouldn't have been that impressive. It would have said things like, fisherman. He was a hard worker. He was a fisherman. It would have said, no formal education, no religious training that we've ever heard of. And it would have said things like, unrefined, with tendencies toward cussing, lying, spitting, exaggerating, throwing his golf clubs, and never wanting to lose at board games. I only throw that in, I take creative liberty there, because I think I can identify with Peter in some ways. We could honestly say that Peter would, for me, being a kind of a television guy through the years, he kind of would remind me of an old TV character. We're dating ourselves, anybody over 40, 45 years old, but he would be like Ralph Cramden. You remember Ralph Cramden? Young people, I understand, you don't know who, but from the sitcom The Honeymooners, there was Ralph Cramden. Jackie Gleason played him, and Ralph Cramden was always putting his foot in his mouth every episode. Sometimes it would be kind of subtle, you know, he knew he was kind of walking a thin line, he'd go, hamana, 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 you know, he knew he was, and then other episodes it was like, uh-oh, I just crossed the line, I got a big mouth! That's what he'd say. He said that all the time, didn't he? That was kind of Peter. Peter knew, you know, that he was kind of like that. He still did it. And I think I'm going to show you today that that's okay. Peter was a little daring. He was a little courageous. There are lots of adjectives that we could use to describe Peter. And in studying this and looking at different commentaries on this, the word that I kept seeing that was coming up was impetuous. Peter was impetuous. Let me tell you what impetuous means. I know Sam Martin, are you back there somewhere thinking, Mike Tyson, impetuous. Remember that? Yeah, you could do that whole speech. I remember that, Sam. Impetuous. This is straight from a dictionary. I got to thinking, I just want to see if this means what I think it means. Of pertaining to or characterized by sudden or rash action, emotion, etc. Impulsive. Synonyms would be eager, headlong, actions not preceded by thought. So that way, I thought that might be my escape clause. I'm not like him. Oh wait, for all who know me, I'm like him. Examples in the life of Peter. Cutting off of the ear of the soldier in the Garden of Gethsemane when they came to get Jesus. What? Jesus, I think he shook his head a lot at Peter. Put the sword away, Peter. And then, you know, the transfiguration. I don't know how much you've read about the transfiguration where Elijah and Moses show up with Jesus and they glow and everything. And Peter, he's just like, I got to do something. I could build some tabernacles for all three of you. You want to do something? I got to do something. Jesus, Peter, it's okay. We got this figured out. Peter, to me, I'll give you another character that he's like, and this is from the cartoon world. Foghorn Leghorn had a little buddy that was a chicken hawk. And in one episode that I remember, the chicken hawk's running around, I'm a chicken hawk and you're a chicken, so I got to eat you. I'm a chicken hawk and you're a chicken. And Foghorn Leghorn's just going, I'll say, he's a good boy, but he's kind of dumb. Right? I don't know if you guys ever had the privilege of seeing that cinematic presentation, but that was pretty good. Foghorn Leghorn just kept shaking his head at that little guy. And that was kind of the way it was for Peter. But you know what? Jesus was very patient with Peter. Think about it. Think about the 12 disciples, okay? Steve's alluded to this before. You've heard it before. This is not a who's who of spiritual giants when Peter goes and picks them out, or when Jesus goes and picks them out. They're just not. I mean, you've got the impetuous Peter. You've got the doubter, Thomas. You've got the devious tax collector, Matthew. You've got Simon the Zealot. Zealots are known to brutalize Romans whenever they got the chance. I mean, this is I always call them, like I used to teach the senior high, I'd always say, man, the disciples were a ragtag group. And Jesus put them together. So what does that tell you about Jesus? Because he was able to turn all of them into heroes for the faith. And that's what he did. And that sends me back to the story that we're talking about today, because you think by this story that it just involves Jesus and Peter, basically, for the most part. You've heard the story over and over. But all the disciples are in the boat. Every one of the disciples is in the boat, okay? And like Jessica said earlier, they had just witnessed one of Jesus' most amazing miracles, the feeding of 5,000 people. And so Jesus said, I'm going to go pray. You go across the Sea of Galilee. It has several names, the Sea of Galilee does. Some of them it's referred to as a lake and whatever. So I got to thinking, how far is it across that Jesus told him to cross? It's about 13 kilometers in its widest point, the Sea of Galilee, about 7 miles. That's not as easy as it sounds, especially when the wind comes up. Or maybe it doesn't even sound easy, I don't know. But it's about 7 miles. I compare that to Higgins Lake. In lots of spots in Higgins Lake. Have you ever looked across Higgins Lake and gone, I wouldn't want to row across that? That's what they're doing. And the wind comes up, it says. And they're rowing and rowing and rowing. Okay, when you look at this as a story, it's like you've just got a couple minutes worth of what's going on here. In the King James Version, it says that about the fourth watch of the night, they're still rowing. For those who don't know what that means, don't feel bad. I didn't either till I looked into this. A watch back then in Roman time was a 3-hour period that started at basically nightfall. So from 6 to 9, first watch of the night. 9 to midnight, second watch of the night. Midnight to 3, third watch of the night. We're talking 4:30. That they're still rowing. Because the wind and the storm is so bad. And by then they're completely worn out. There's no question. They're completely worn out. And then they see the figure. Okay? Now, the story says that they say it was a ghost. Can you imagine, though, the emotions going on with those guys when they see that figure? I'm thinking terror. I'm thinking confusion. I'm thinking loose bowels. I'm thinking all kinds of things going on. I think that they think it's the angel of death is what they think. It's over. Hand me that tarp. I'm going in. We're done. And Peter sees him, and I'm just picturing, you know, Jesus saying, because Jesus could make his voice as loud as he needed to under the circumstances. He said, hey, don't be afraid. It's just me. It's okay. Peter, I don't know if they heard him or what. He goes, he said it's the master, but did Peter absolutely 100% believe that it was him? Or how did he ask the next question? He said, Lord, if it's you, if is a big word. If is a big word. If it's really you, ask me to come out there. Immediately, Jesus said, okay, come out. And I still think Jesus was like, 10 more steps and I'd have been to the boat and the wind would have gone away. But Peter, if you feel like you got to come out, come on out. So Peter gets out. And just so that I don't make it seem so negative on Peter, because this was an impetuous act, that's why I put the word up there, Peter immediately, throughout the history of talking about the disciples, took a leadership role immediately. And Jesus gave it to him. He was in the inner circle with James and John all the time. Maybe Peter was saying, guys, I'm stepping out of the boat to show you this is Jesus. This is the master. He'll keep me afloat. We're going to be okay. So I'm going to give him some credit for that. Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water for about 7.3 seconds, okay? Hey, I'm doing it. And then we all know the story. He saw the waves and everything, and Peter started to sink like the rock he was named after, okay? That's not why Jesus called him the rock, but it was a good example. And down he went, and we read, and Jessica read today, you know, we looked at it and said, Peter said, Lord, save me. Do you want to know what that really sounded like? Save me! I bet you, Peter had a higher voice than you thought he had at that moment. I know how I'd have been going down in those waves. Jesus came up shaking his head again. And I found out something I did not know in reading this story. He pulled him up and said, we see it as you of little faith. In the Greek, that was translated, he gave him a nickname there. He said, little faith, Why did you doubt? He called him a nickname there, according to the Greek. Little faith, why did you doubt? Get in the boat. And so, you know, I've jaded you on the whole story of Peter walking on the water. It was an utter failure. But was it? I think that all it was a step in the process, in the journey of Peter. Jesus wasn't fooled by this. Oh, man, this is the guy that when I first met him, when he came up to me and his brother Andrew, you know, John the Baptist said, hey, he's speaking, go listen to him. And Andrew went. Simon's brother, Andrew, went and he said to Simon, we got to go listen to this guy. Check this guy out. And immediately Peter was called, or Jesus said, your name is going to be Cephas. That's the Aramaic. Peter is the Greek. You're the rock. I mean, wow, interesting. So when he went down because he saw the waves and everything like that, it's not like Jesus was surprised, like, oh, man, and this is the one I called the rock. I have to change my whole, oh, man. Not for one second. Not for one second. Jesus knows what we're capable of when it comes to failure, you know? And he's right there for us. He's right there lifting us out. How many of you can identify with if you tried to walk on water and you saw those waves, down you'd go? How many times in your life have you had victory, 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 and then one wave comes up and you start to sink? And Jesus is right there. That's what happens. So in the ministry of Peter, you've got what I said. He was introduced to Jesus, and Jesus immediately says, that's not going to be your name anymore. To Simon. And I bet you Peter was probably going, okay. That would be like me being introduced to some great person of the faith and saying, no, Garth, your name is Tree Trunk from now on. Okay. At the beginning, don't you think? I mean, really, think about that. Peter's probably going, what did he mean by that? Andrew, you're the one who brought me to him. What does he mean by that? So later on, we go through all these things that I talked about, these examples. Peter being impetuous, doing what he does. But to go back to the story, the one last thing that I'll say about the story is I found out that many commentary writers of the 19th century, they really resoundingly said, yeah, Peter just acted impetuously there. And it kind of made it sound like it was a total mistake. And I beg to differ in the fact that 11 people were cowering in a boat and one person was taking action. And what it makes me think is, and I'm guilty of this sometimes, I know as well as anybody, if you never take action, you probably won't ever make a mistake. The boat, even though those waves were pretty rough and stuff, seemed safer to them than getting on the water, of course. But if you never take action like Peter did, then you're not going to look like a colossal failure sometimes. We need to use our spiritual gifts and take a chance. Be a little bit more like Peter once in a while. I will say that for me, the key scripture in all of this, even more key than the story itself about Peter, is found in Luke chapter 22. This is so important when you look at just the life of Peter and how he came to be, you know, and how it all applies. Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 32 say, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. Back then, that meant a lot because that was an agricultural term, sifting. That was like separating the wheat from the chaff. That was an important, important job. The wheat's the good stuff. The chaff's the bad stuff that needs to be burnt right now. Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, to put you through the wringer. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Prediction? You're going to fail miserably as you try to be what I plan on you being. That scripture right there actually is literally talks about how Satan's sifting all 12 of you as wheat. By the way, if you look into that, I've always thought Jesus was just talking to Peter there. He's not. He's talking to all the disciples, but he singles out Peter. And it's very important there because it gets back to my point. Peter, you're going to do a lot of dumb things. You're going to take your chances a lot. You're going to say a lot of crazy things. It's going to be okay. What Jesus did for Peter was change an absolute weakness of his into a strength. And that's what he can do for everyone sitting here. Because what we do, we tend to do is we tend to say, ugh, kind of weak at that. I don't know if I should take a chance at that. Peter's so impetuous, and so, but he keeps doing it. Eventually, good's going to come of it. We need to keep doing it. Think about when Jesus went up to Peter and said, okay, guys, got this towel on my shoulder, got this bowl, I'm going to wash you guys' feet. Peter said, you're not washing my feet. That's Peter all the way. You're not washing my feet. There is no way I'm letting someone like you. Peter meant well, okay? Peter meant well. He's like, you're the Savior. You're our master. You're not washing my feet. I guarantee you, Jesus shook his head again. Okay, if I don't wash your feet, then you have no part in me. Oh, okay. Wash my whole body then. Wow. I got a big mouth. Just like Ralph Cramden. Why do I say the things I say? Or like Chris Farley. Stupid, stupid. You know, that type of thing. Some of the things with his interviews through the years. But he does that stuff, you know. And then it comes to a point later in Luke 22 where there's a time when Peter, it's a different scripture. He goes, who do the people say that I am? Peter said, well, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Really? Okay. I'd lay down my life. There's no way they're taking you to crucify you. What does Jesus say to Peter on that one? Get behind me, Satan. Or we could translate that into saying basically, Satan, quit deceiving my disciple. I know you're in the middle of your sifting process, but get behind him. I'm tired of hearing all this stuff, you know? There's no way they're coming to take you to crucify you. No way. And the hard part in that one for Peter was probably when Jesus said, it was hard enough to hear Satan, get behind me, but then he followed it with, you don't have in mind the things of God. You've got in mind the things of man. And Peter's like, I just let the devil control me while he's sifting me. So, but that's the life of Peter. And then the ultimate one was when he said, Lord, I would lay down my life for you. I would do whatever it took. I'd fall on a sword for you. I'd do whatever it takes. I would do that. That's how much I love you. Jesus said, really? Because before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. And here's another thing that just my wild imagination says, I might not be too far in saying, Peter went, okay, all these things I've seen, and I know he's the Son of God, he's our Savior, but he's dead wrong on this one. That ain't happening, don't you think? Because when you're like Peter, and when you're like me, when you're like some other people who have those tendencies, you fail, and you get back up, you fail, you get back up, and each time you say, I'm not doing that one again. I'm not doing that one again. So when Jesus said, you're going to actually deny me three times before the cock crows, Peter's like, that's not happening. There's no way I'm doing that. I've done that stuff enough. And that's kind of impetuous in and of itself, because the sifting by Satan, that was the focus right there that Jesus was mainly talking about, was the denying him. And Jesus was getting him ready. And what's beautiful, beautiful about this story, and again, we've heard sermons from Steve alluding to this too, was the restoration of Peter. The restoration of Peter. It seemed like kind of a hard process. Peter, do you love me? Yeah, you know I love you. Oh, really? Feed my lambs. Do you love me? He does that three times. Prove a point, whatever. But Peter's restored. And that's where the whole story of Peter walking on the water, everything you can say about Peter becomes beautiful, and now we can all identify. We can all identify. Because constantly we're restored. Okay? A couple of my points are, it pays once in a while to be a little bit impetuous for the Lord. Okay? Because if you never try anything or take action, you may never make a mistake. I'm not so sure that's so great to go through. I've never made a mistake. I've never fallen flat on my face. Really? I don't know. That might not be that impressive. Because every time you do, Jesus, when he pulled Peter up out of the waves, do you think it was, get over here? No. It was, little faith, why'd you doubt me? You looked right at me. Then you looked away. Gentle rebuke. Jesus does not look for perfection. He looks for direction in your life. He doesn't look for perfection. Sometimes we mistakenly think that's what it's all about. We see scripture that says, be holy as I am holy. Who wrote that in the New Testament? Peter did. So we know that Peter meant, be more holy tomorrow than you were yesterday, because Jesus will keep restoring you. Work towards being holy. Peter knows. He was restored. He goes on to be the one to lead 3,000 new believers into the new church in the book of Acts. He's the one who really is the key focal point into leading the Gentiles and inviting the Gentiles, opening the door for the Gentiles to come into the gospel message. When we think of Paul for that, and Paul's awesome for that, Peter's the one who had a couple dreams and got it started. Peter did. And Peter's the one who wrote about, be careful, the devil roams around and like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Believe me, I've been there. That's what Peter says. Peter continued to make impetuous mistakes. In the book of Galatians, I mean, we're talking years after Christ had ascended. Paul's in Galatia teaching them that you Gentiles, you're welcome, okay? The law is fulfilled. We have freedom in Christ. And Peter comes in and says, hey, we got some Judaizers visiting right now, and they're kind of leaning towards maybe we should have all these Galatians circumcised. I don't know. Paul said, are you kidding me, Peter, right now? You know as well as I do, that stuff's behind us now. We're invited in through Christ's blood. So Peter did that stuff still. Once again, I got a big mouth. That was stupid of me. And he was forgiven again. As we get older, guess what? The mistakes don't go away. Luckily, I feel like they get to be fewer. Praise God for that, you know? But you're restored every time by Jesus. So I guess the lessons that I would like to share with you to conclude would be heroes, because these stories are awesome hero stories. Heroes are ones who, and the first one is, have weaknesses and flaws and overcome them with the help of Jesus, okay? We got to add that to that first one. The second one, are forgiven when they are unfaithful. In the story, the story that we're basing today's lesson on, do you know how many facets of Peter we actually saw at work there? Lack of faith, faith, doubt, courageousness, impetuousness, all of that. But he was forgiven. Are willing to be taught. That's a good one. Because the disciples, who, like I told you, were a ragtag group, but they spent 3 years with Jesus, and if they were willing to be taught, then they were absolute heroes of the faith. And they were. In the end, they were all martyred except for one of them because of their faith. The next one is, realize that Jesus sees them as who he intends for them to be. Like I said before, not perfection, but direction. Okay? So, and I think there's one more. Am I right? They seem to be the unlikeliest candidates. I can't emphasize that enough. Just like how when you really study the disciples, you could be cynical enough to say, what are you thinking choosing those 12? You really could. Well, you know what? Don't let yourself fall into the trap of thinking that you're way too unlikely a candidate for Jesus to make something amazing out of your life and your story. Okay? Those are the points I want to get across about impetuous Peter, who was just impetuous enough to take action. And went too far sometimes, but he was forgiven. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for all the stories this summer, Lord. Your word is full of amazing stories, Lord, that can just help us. And this one can too, Lord. Peter sunk, but he took action because he was looking at you at least at one time, took his eyes off you, did that several times, Lord, but ultimately he looked at you and you restored him. And you do that for us every day. Thank you for that. Thank you for just a beautiful day that we can gather together. Lord, thank you for all you do for us and continue to do. In Jesus' name, amen.